Yep. Not biblical. They've got some truth, but they're not. They're definitely not biblical.
A lot of these
biblical.
Have truth. They have some truth. But I used to stand.
Satan quotes scripture too.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to come back to them. You got to come back and refute them.
And you got to live by it too. Yeah. But you got to live by the word. Yeah.
But I lived in Milwaukee, and I used to go out and hand out tracts to people in downtown Milwaukee. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. That was after I was born again.
Yeah.
And but
which
I
is when? How long ago?
In the here's what happened with me. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a Church of God, but my life didn't automatically change right away. Okay, but it was a couple 3 years later that I was involved in a relationship that wasn't godly, and I ran into some college students that I had gone to college with, and they had become born again Christians.
Okay,
I was standing right next door. I was engaged to a gal, but we were involved with each other. I was a new
ager.
I was a new ager.
Oh wow!
You know, so but they were standing right next door, and I said,
"Wait! You were a new ager after you were born again by God?"
Well, I was still in that way of thinking. Put it that way, because when with the preacher gave an old fashioned altar call, and I sat there. I didn't go up.
When you were born again, you're saying?
Well, when I received Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to use that terminology.
Okay, but wait, I'm confused. You were
so they say you have the seed of the Spirit.
Yeah, no. Were you born again before that happened, or at the
same before? Before.
Oh, okay. So you're separating being born again to accepting Jesus? I don't think that's possible.
No. You're right. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of the truth of a matter, you either accept it or reject it, right?
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit leads it.
But there's several
truth.
Ways to do that. There's a mental acceptance, but then there's the will to carry it out.
Yeah. Okay. So there was a mental. Here's what happened. I was trying to explain it to you. So I was listening because someone had invited me to go, and she didn't show up. She was witnessing to me about Jesus. Okay.
All right.
But she didn't show up. I went anyway, and I was listening to the preacher, heard the message, and I can't remember what the message was about, but he gave an altar call. He says, now is the time for you to come forward and accept Jesus as your Savior. You may not have another opportunity. You may go outside, get hit by a car, and die. This might be your opportunity.
So is that when you think you were born again?
Yes. And I say that based on my further study of Scripture, which says that the seed, that seed is inside of you.
Right.
You may not be a full of the Holy Spirit and growing, but that seed has been planted
there.
The earnest.
After that, did you go on and do New Age ways and New Age mindsets, or was that before that?
I was still searching and seeking. You mentioned the word seeker. Yeah. So I was still a seeker at that point.
Yeah, can I throw something at you?
Yes.
I want to test what you're telling me.
Okay.
I just tested it with a man. We were in a park at the other side of town, and a man came up. This is why we put gospel signs out. That's how we get to meet people.
Right.
And so an older man came up to me, and he wanted to give me a track, and he said, "Won't you accept Jesus today?" And he saw my signs and everything.
That's strange.
Okay. Well, he said, "Wow, that's kind of radical." And I said, "Wasn't our Savior radical?"
Yeah,
he goes, "Yeah." I said, "In a good way, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Test my signs." And then he said, "Well, I'm radical too." And I said, "Yeah." He looked like a used car salesman to me. No offense, but he had like a bunch of rings and real slick clothes and older man, his hair done real good, and he looked like a slick Willie, let's just say.
Yeah.
Not being mean, I'm just describing the outside.
Right.
He said, "Well, I'm radical too. Let me prove it to you. Would you like to accept Jesus?" And he pulls a gospel card out. So to him, that was radical. And it is to the culture. People that will witness to you is a little bit radical. Most people don't. Most people just invite you to church or something.
Right.
But I said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" I said, "I don't even think that's possible." He goes, "What?" I said, think
what's possible?
"Accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And I asked him this, ready? He's like 75 years old, been going to church his whole life. I said, "What Bible verse says accept Jesus?"
"Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." But the word believe really means trust.
That's not accept. So accept. So let me give you the other end of that. I think man has flipped everything around and made it wrong.
They try to, yes.
Okay, and they do this with
the
gospel.
The devil does too, yeah.
By saying, "Will you accept Jesus?" What that is saying is, here's Jesus. Is he good enough? Is he right? Is he someone that you will accept into you? That is the total backwards of Jesus. You know why? Paul tells us in the epistles, ready?
Yeah.
What Jesus did makes us acceptable before the Father.
Exactly.
You see how that's flip-flop? So I would say anybody who has accepted Jesus, they're not truly born again. Hear me. I would say that's a false gospel. Altar calls are false. Raising your hand, saying a prayer is false. Mm-hmm. Being born again is when you come to yourself and you decide I'm done and you cry right. out to God and you're willing to repent of everything. You're empty, you're broken, you're contrite, you're just right. all poured out. There's nothing left. I've tried religion, the world, drugs, fornication, money, nothing left. Lord, I want you. Then through repentance, yeah. God says, that's my vessel. Now you get the Holy Spirit, yeah. you're born again, and the instant you get it, yeah. not years. See, this yeah. is where you got to test yeah. yourself. Not years later. The instant you get it, you are a changed person. Now, are you perfect, mature, in all your ways? No. Yeah. But you begin, you get up that day,
yeah.
you get up and you go, wow, I'm serving the Lord. I love the Lord. I want to please the Lord. The next morning you get up and you're drinking your usual whiskey and Coke with a cigarette. Yeah. And you're reading the scriptures where it says, be holy. And you go, I'm not holy. I'm worldly. Gotta start losing these things that are worldly. You click on the TV and there's naked ladies and worldliness and antichrist and materialism, and you go, the Bible says redeem the time, and the Spirit says, yeah, don't redeem the time with that, redeem it in the Word.
Yeah.
And instantly you start to sanctify. What did right. Jesus say to the men to follow him? Oh, believe in me and then come back after you're with your parents for 3 or 4 months and follow me.
No, he said, follow me.
And the sanctification process begins. So examine yourself. I don't know when you were truly born again,
yeah.
but think about, when was I truly born again? Because I've helped a lot of people go, I thought I was born again 20 years ago, and I think I might have been born again like 3 years ago. Yeah. When yeah. did you start ready?
Yeah.
Bearing consistent, holy, biblical, godly fruit. Don't answer that. Yeah. Just think about that. Because if you're walking in a bunch of sin that takes yeah. you years to get through,
yeah.
you're not born again.
Yeah.
You're either not born again, or you've shut the voice of the Holy Spirit off. Because do you think the Holy Spirit of God would leave you in sin for years and years and
no,
years?
No.
So you're either rebellious, or you're not born again.
You're grieving the Holy Spirit, yeah.
But, and then in that case, you're not even going to see the kingdom of God, because you don't, help me here. You don't believe in once saved, always saved, do you? We just talked about marriage. Believe once, no matter what you do, you're going to heaven. Bible doesn't teach it.
It's... Some of these things are, I think, beyond our understanding, to be honest with you.
No, this one's clear. In Colossians 1, 22, 23, Paul says, if you continue, you have the hope of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives us the gospel, Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. He says, by which you are saved, if you hold fast, lest you believed in vain. There is your marriage you're holding fast every day faithfully. There is your faith you hold fast every day faithfully. The prodigal son shows us you could turn around and leave. Luke 15, he turned and left the father. Then when he comes back, the father says he was alive, he was dead, he's alive again. You can be born again. You yeah, can go into yeah. your sin and be dead.
Yeah.
You're not connected to the father. You right. got to repent and come out. Because right. do you think a practicing homosexual will go to heaven?
No.
Okay. No. I just witnessed some people downtown in Hayward, and they said, one of them said they think they're a Christian and they practice homosexuality. If we believe once saved, always saved is true, I have to tell them. They asked me, will I go to heaven practicing homosexuality? And in love, I told them, no, you won't.
Well,
but if so I believe once saved, always saved.
You have to study yourself, though.
Well, they have to see it in Scripture.
It's two posts?
Two posts, yeah.
Two posts.
They have to see it in Scripture, but it's what the Scripture says. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, you won't be forgiven.
Right.
That's
right.
Faith and works.
Right. So if you have, and I know you've studied, because I have studied as well, but if you, you know, here's the thing. I think really what matters is whether you want to be with God or not.
What's the fruit you want to be with God? You live sinful or holy?
I heard one preacher say this. If you don't want to live for God right now, why would you want to go to heaven?
Right.
That's where God's at.
So that's what I'm saying. So what's the fruit when somebody tells me I want to live for God? I see them worldly, cussing, smoking, going to false religion, dressing in pride and vanity, and living for the world. Is that the fruit that they want,
no,
God? Okay.
No.
So that's what I'm right. saying. You got to come out of sin, because the yeah. Bible says in Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, it yeah. says, if we willfully sin. What is willful sin?
Make a conscious decision.
You know it.
Yeah.
If we willfully sin, there's no sacrifice left for sin, but a fiery indignation for the enemies that will be destroyed, the adversaries of God. So you must walk in holiness as fruit. Jesus is the vine.
Yeah.
If you want to be a branch, what do good branches of a good vine produce? Lots
good,
of fruit.
Good fruit. Yeah.
What if you are a vine of a good branch and you're producing bad fruit, hardly any fruit?
Cut you off.
So yeah. see, faith and works. Once saved, yeah. always saved. And Joyce Meyer and all of these people, they teach a lot of false gospel. She's a word of faither. I used to have a testing.
So let me ask you a question
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
So if if you get cut off, is it possible for you to be good put back on?
Of course.
How?
Romans 11. Paul says, let me read it to you. Romans 11 is a very good indication of that, where Paul's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. I know it, but I'm going to read it to you so you can't say, oh, he's just saying it.
I like the scripture you're talking about.
I like to read it because reading it gives God's authority rather than me just remembering it and they go, he's just making it up in his head.
No, I usually ask people, can you show me? If I have heard something strange, I'll ask them, show me in scripture where it says that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it starts all the way up at like 19.
Yeah.
It's or 18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root of thee.
Yeah.
Will thou say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? See, Israel is
the natural branch,
right? And they are in Christ.
Gentiles were the wild.
Ready?
Yeah.
21. For if God spared not the natural branches, who is that?
The Jews.
Jews. Take heed lest he also spare not thee. Who would thee be?
The Gentiles.
You and I, Gentiles. Yeah. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity. Why? Because he was talking about the Jews didn't believe.
Yeah.
They were in sin. He rejected them. But towards thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off.
Yeah.
So you can go into sin, repent, and come back. The problem is, if you die in that sin and it's not repentant, you're not cleansed, you're lost. You're lost. That's what it says. Because Hebrews 10:27 says that devours the adversaries of God. That's not heaven. That's hell.
Yeah.
That's hell. So, again, I go back to your marriage example.
Yeah.
No one's going to believe you're a good, godly husband if you're beating and cheating on your wife.
Yeah.
Not even once.
Yeah.
Even once.
Yeah.
So let that standard go up to your faith and go, how can I claim God, faith in God, love God if I'm living in a bunch of sin, willful sin? I'm united to false people that keep heresy. I do things that I shouldn't be doing. I need to repent and clean my life up as fruit that I'm of this holy branch or a vine and be a branch. But the man-made churches, to keep their buildings filled and their philosophies going, have told you, oh, Greg, we're all a bunch of sinners. It's okay. Jesus died.
Turn it into a worldly business.
And here's the key. Ready? The Bible. I want to encourage you. The Bible in the New Testament, if you say you're born of Jesus, never, ever, ever calls his people sinners. What does it call them?
Saints.
Now, when you go into sin and we catch you in sin or you come and confess the sin and we go, oh, Greg or Tupos, man, you're living like a sinner.
Yeah.
Repent and come out of that. When you do that, you're a restored saint walking in righteousness, not living in sin.
Right.
Sinners live in sin. They go in that pond and they just slop around in it. Us saints go, one time I got too close to that, man, and it got splashed on me. Old pornography, drinking, lustful thoughts, hate. It got splashed on me, man. What should I do, Greg? And you go, oh, man, repent. Christ will cleanse you. And stay away from that. We don't live in that stuff. And this is the problem with the churchianity system. They live in sin. And we are not. We are saints. We walk holy. If the Holy Spirit's in you, what are you going to be? Holy.
Yeah.
Here's another thing.
He's, separated meaning.
Yeah,
basically.
John 16. I was just going over this. Yeah, set apart. That's what holy means. I was just going over this with a young brother right before you came over on the phone. In John 16, the Holy Spirit is also called, I love this, the Spirit of Truth.
Right. Right.
So if you keep any lies that are connected to the Father, spiritual things, not like the sky's yellow, which that'd be crazy, but spiritual things, Christmas, Easter, false gospels, worldliness.
Yeah.
How is the Holy Spirit exuding in you while we're keeping and practicing lies? If I told you three lies while I was preaching to you here, would you say that I'm walking in the Spirit, close to the Spirit, connected to the Spirit, trained by the Spirit? You'd go, there's something wrong there.
So... the Spirit should give me discernment as to whether you're telling me a lie or not.
And you go back to the Scriptures.
And so
it's easy to test, like Joyce Meyer's, the Wesleyans. And so what I would encourage you to do, if I could encourage you, because I care for your soul, is I would not worry about gathering and fellowshipping with anyone that you currently do. And I challenge men to do this all the time. Ready? Take a break from man-made religion. It's all man-made.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take a break from everybody you know you're spiritually connected to. And tell them, I'm going to take a season. Don't worry, I'm not falling away. You're not going to see me for a month or two. I'm going in here. What I'm going to do is vet out my filter, vet out everything that I've been hearing. I'm going to the Father and I'm going to say, Father, He's a good father. When he asks for bread, he doesn't give you a snake. Father, right. I think I'm living in sins. I think I'm living in false doctrines. I think I'm connected to the world in whether how I act, talk, dress, live. I think I'm connected to false teaching. Father, show me your truth. Cleanse me in your word. Cleanse me in the Son. And I want to walk in all truth. I promise you, if you do that for a month or two and break all connections, that includes, okay, don't even read my website. You go, I can't trust that guy. Just get in the word of God. Yeah. I promise you, on the other side, you're going to go, wow, I see things different. I can't go back there. I can't go back there. And then you might go, that guy that challenged me to do that, maybe he's on the path that God's called us all to because I can't find any sin or error in him. Those are the people you unite to. And those are the people you walk with and have fellowship, whether it's long distance or close. Those are the people you sharpen your sword with, not people that go, I'm not perfect. We're all going to keep a bunch of sin. The New Testament, do you know how many times it calls us to be perfect?
I know at least one time.
30.
Okay.
And guess what that word perfect means? Let me encourage you with that. What do you think perfect? When Jesus says in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect.
Doing the Father's will.
No, not really. It encompasses that, but it actually means complete and mature.
Okay.
So that's a good news. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's going to be a chance that we fall or choose sin at points and times.
I know.
Okay. Men spit on my wife. They get in her face. She's standing there with a sign quietly. I tell you what, you want to get in my flesh, get in on my quiet wife. And my first thought is, I always tell people, I'm not proud of this, but I'm being honest. My first thought when they come up and say the word C-U-N-T to my wife and get in her face, my first thought is, I can put his nose where his ear is real quick.
You are a fighter.
But instantly I go, Father, that doesn't glorify you. That's my flesh. Father, that doesn't glorify you. And I just go walk between and I go, sir, leave my wife alone. If you have something to say, talk to me, or just go away if you don't like what we're saying. And I dissolve the situation. So I can fall into sin.
Let me ask you a
but
question.
If I choose
somebody
it.
Somebody physically assaulted your wife. Would you go after
I'm going to get between him and her.
Yeah.
I'm going to bear hug him.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold him to the ground until police show up. Yeah. I'm not going to start pummeling him and beat his face.
No.
I'm going to do something to separate. No difference if it was anyone else. A child, a woman, you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get between.
Yeah.
If I saw my neighbors being shot at, I'd probably give him a shield.
Yeah.
Run! I'd give a shield and I probably would die.
Yeah.
But Jesus said no greater love than you give it for someone else.
Right.
I wouldn't pull a gun out and start shooting them. Now, there's another whole discussion, but you could pull out something to scare them away. I got a cell phone. I'm calling the police.
Or a taser.
I've heard where guys have pulled out like.
But people can die from tasers too.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. When I turned 18, you know, I was supposed to sign up for selective service, but I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't.
I wasn't going to kill somebody because somebody told me to.
You know what? I've witnessed to a man not long ago. He was 75. He started crying in front of me. He said, when I was 17, can I tell you my testimony? I said, yeah. He said, when I was 17, he said, they drafted me for Vietnam.
Yeah.
He said, I was in a helicopter. He said, I was a machine gunner.
Yeah.
And he said, can I tell you something? I said, what? He said, I gunned down hundreds of men.
Oh, my Lord.
And he looked at me and he goes, I still see it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a 50 cal?
Yeah.
Just taking people out. And I said, that's not of God. He goes, no, it's not.
Yeah.
He goes, it's not. And I said, America puffs up all of that pride and killing and patriotism. That's not of God.
We stand against
4th of July and all that. People don't like it, but we tell the truth.
I started going to the Assembly of God church I was talking about. And, of course, in Scripture it says you should obey the laws of the land, right?
Until they break God's law.
Okay, so I guess in this case...
Till they break God's law.
So
we obey God first, Acts 5:29, and then we obey man.
Yeah.
Or obey man's laws.
Yeah, I signed up for selective service after that because I thought it was my...
Yeah, you and I are both. I remember going down signing up for that going, man, are they going to draft me?
Yeah.
And you and I have similar stories. I was 17, and I was going to join the Marines. I wasn't a Christian. I was going to join the Marines, and I went to my dad, who was in World War II. And I said, I'm joining the Marines. It was right when the Iran thing happened. Remember that? Back when they took our hostages in Iran?
Yeah.
I was living off-grid in Mauston, Wisconsin. And I said,
I'm off-grid.
I lived off-grid way back then before off-grid was known. I was living in 1980.
Wow, when it that's wasn't, interesting.
I was living in a cabin in the woods. And I told my dad, I came back to Illinois where they were, and I said, I'm signing up for the service. I went down. I talked to the guy. He said, how old are you? I was going to join the Marines. I'm going over there. In my flesh, I'm going to go fight for our country. He said, how old are you? I said, 17. He goes, oh, we got a problem. I said, what's that? He goes, got to be 18. I said, well, I said, I don't want to wait. Now's the time. He goes, there's only one way. He goes, your dad's got a sign for you.
Yeah.
I went back to tell my dad, and you know what? My father, who was not a believer, he was an agnostic. Yeah. My father, now that I'm thinking about it, it's another thing that my father spared me from. My father spared me from going to Roman Catholic catechism. My mother put all five of my older brothers and sisters through the Roman Catholic Church. They all hate God, and many of them will tell you, we hate God because we saw the Roman Catholic Church, how corrupt it is. When it came my turn, and my mother ruled our house, she was the feminist of the house. My mother told me, when it came your turn, your dad came to me when you were like 8 or 9 and said, he's not going. And she said, what? And he said, no, he's not going. And she said, what do you mean? All the rest of them, he said, he's not going. And she said, my father never gave me her reason. He always bowed down to her. And he said, you are not going to catechism. My father, I believe God used my father to spare me from all of that. And now I'm telling you the story. I went to go sign up for the military, and I was dead set to go. That would have changed the course of my life. I probably would have gone. And my father said, I'm not doing it. I said, Dad, come on. He said, I'm not doing it. He said, I don't want that on my conscience. I went to war, and he didn't give me no religious reasons. Right. He said, I ain't doing it. And you know, when I turned 18, I had changed my mind, and I didn't go.
By that time. When my sons, I have two
wow,
sons.
Wow, that's amazing. It's another thing my agnostic father spared me from. I rejoice in that, because my heavenly father is sovereign.
Right.
He controls everything.
Yeah, he can Isn't that control awesome? People's hearts.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. When my sons, when I took them to a restaurant, they're about 2 years apart. I went out to a restaurant. I said, boys, you're certainly welcome to go in the military if you want to, but don't go because of me.
Yeah.
If I need to defend myself, I can pick up arms myself. Because I told them this, I says, if you go into the military, you're probably going to be defending some rich man's agenda.
Worse than that, the New World Order, the Illuminati,
I said, if you're looking for discipline, because a lot of people going for discipline, but you can get discipline other ways.
Become a Christian.
Exactly.
Follow the Bible. You want to be disciplined?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And neither one of them did, but I wanted to be clear that they weren't deceived into thinking that they're going to somehow protect me.
Yeah, we're going to be preaching this weekend. I'm not sure where yet, but we're going to be preaching at 4th of July festivals, and that people hate me the most because I ratchet up my preaching, and I say, I need to warn you. I go to Mount Rushmore and I preach. And at Mount Rushmore, have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Okay. At Mount Rushmore, you can see George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and I get to preach. They have a spot where you can preach, so I get to preach, and I got a picture where my wife takes it, and there's the rock, and I'm street preaching right here. People are coming by me, and I warn people. I said, the men you're lifting up, these are not godly men. They're all saying, we're Christians, why are you here? I said, America's not a Christian nation. America's a pagan Christian nation. George Washington was a deist.
Yes, he was.
A deist. Yeah. He didn't even believe that God cares about us. He didn't send a personal savior. He wasn't fond of Jesus. Just he's some creator that when he prays and says, oh, heavenly father, the creator of all things, he's a deist. He has a false god.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson took a knife and cut out the words of Jesus from his Bible. He was antichrist. He didn't even believe Jesus was from God. And these are the men we've lifted up as great Christian leaders. And then what was the revolution fought over? Why did we start killing?
Separation.
But why?
It was supposed to be for tyranny.
What kind of?
Taxation without representation.
So let me ask you a question, Greg. Yeah. If I told you my wife and a bunch of brothers and I are tired of the taxes Washington's charging us, they just raised our tax 3%. We got a bunch of guns. We're going to Washington. We're going to shoot that place up and kill them for freedom. Would you call us patriots or terrorists? Oh, if you got to think about that, I'm worried.
No.
That's a terrorist, man.
I was going to say a terrorist, but patriotism in the world popular sense, it has a different meaning.
Yeah, that's a good catch. You're right. Yeah. Basically, you wouldn't call me a Christian.
No.
So this is the mindset, and I see all these
what
pastors.
What about protests?
Well, protests are biblical, but as long as they're peaceful.
Yeah.
I protest all the time with a sign.
Well, like one of the things is we have the right to petition the government.
Yeah, what does that mean, though?
That means you can petition them for redress if there's a wrong that's occurred.
So there's constitutional laws in place, and I fall back on this. Ready? I don't go too deep in them. Right. I don't consider myself American before the citizen of heaven. I'm citizen of heaven first. Yeah. I'm an American second. But I do call for my First Amendment rights. I do it often. The police show up. And
freedom
they tell
of speech.
Right. And the reason I do that is not because I'm an American trying to puff up my Americanness to make money and make more freedom for myself. Paul did it. When they were about to beat Paul,
he says, I'm a Roman citizen.
He used his Roman citizenship. Yeah. Why?
Is it lawful for you to do that?
Why did, thank you. Why did he do that? Just so he could have more ease and freedom to enjoy life?
No.
He wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. He wanted to go before Rome and preach the gospel. Well, so he called out for his rights.
There's no virtue in ignorance either. For him to explain to them, you're acting ignorantly. Yeah, yeah. I'm a Roman citizen.
Exactly. So what I do is I call out for my First Amendment rights so I can preach the gospel. Because I've had abusive cops show up. And they go, you got to leave. And I go, no, sir.
This is public property.
I said, this is a public property.
Even if you're moving.
Oh, doesn't matter.
They say if you're standing still.
No, never go for that because the Supreme Court has said the religious expression is not the same as loitering. You can stand in one place for religious expression. Loitering is like a homeless guy just standing there and he's got no reason.
Yeah.
Move along. Yeah. But if you're standing there, and I explain it to them and I go, you don't want to arrest me for First Amendment rights. And I like to put it in their minds that they could get sued. Personally, I would never bring a lawsuit. I just had a case.
Right. The municipality could be sued over.
I just had a situation down in Lebanon, Tennessee. We showed up for a preach. We're on a public sidewalk. Five cops show up and they go, you need a permit for that. And I said, a permit for free speech? Oh yeah, you need a permit. Finally, they called a major in and he goes, yeah, you need a permit. I said, no, what are you talking about? Well, we have a thing that any protest that gathers. I said, that's not me. I'm not a protest. I'm free speech. Me and my wife walking on a sidewalk. All the other cops left. This major stayed there, and he blocked where I could walk on the sidewalks. Everybody wanted to come up and talk to me. He was ushering them away. Wow. He looked at my wife, and he said, you're afraid of your husband, aren't you? And I looked at him, and I said, you wicked officer. I said, Deb. I called her Deb. I said, let's get in the car. That was her name. I said, let's get in the car. I said, this man's wicked. I emailed the captain, the lawyer, and the city mayor, and I said, I have it all on video. It's on the internet. I said, I have it all on video. My rights were impeded. Yeah. He denied my rights of free speech. You know, I have an email from their lawyer that says, well, we told there was a protest going on, and I told them, yeah, protesters need a permit. But the permit says over 30 people blocking the streets. Then you need a permit. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, probably.
We were two people on a public sidewalk. The lawyer says this, ready? He set me up for a lawsuit if I wanted it. He said, you definitely were not under our permit law. He said, and your freedom of speech should not have been stopped that day. Their lawyer said this. I got it in email. Yeah. And I think that the chief and the cop probably went, oh, great. And he said, your rights. He goes, can we just amicably settle this and agree that your rights were not, where your rights were impeded that day and that shouldn't happen? Accept my apology, the lawyer says. I could have sued him and probably won $200,000-$300,000 out of court. They'll settle out of court. But what kind of witness? What kind of witness would I have? What am I, a money grubber? Yeah. I don't need the money.
Yeah.
I mean, an extra $200,000 or $300,000 is always nice, but I don't need it. So I'm not going to sue. My wife always reminds me whenever a few years ago I got in my flesh and I said, Dad said I should take him down in court. I said, I'll sue that guy in court for what he did. And my wife will say to me, if you do that, honey, I have a question. I go, what? She goes, won't you be caught up in lawyers, courts,
tangled with meetings? The world rather than
and she goes,
soldier.
Won't that take you off of what God's called you to do? And I said, thank you for a godly wife. You're right. That's in my flesh a little bit. I'll get him. And I said, thank you, honey. You're right. And ever since then, whenever that happens, I let them think.
There have been times when I've wanted to take personal revenge.
Yeah, that's personal revenge.
Because here's the thing. I know scripture enough to know that, well, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. However, how does he repay? He uses people.
He does.
Possibly.
He does.
Well, I'm a person. Couldn't I be the instrument?
Yeah.
Now,
legal things are different. Like if you owned a housing complex and a construction guy promised to do something and he didn't do it and it cost you $50,000, you could go to the courts, small court, and go, could we work this out? I need to get that money back. That kind of thing is different.
What if he's a Christian?
Yeah, well, that's different. Now, Paul says don't take Christians to court. So then you go to a man-to-man.
If you know for sure he's a Christian.
That would be a true brother.
Not a
churchgoer.
Yeah.
Churchgoers aren't true Christians. If they are, they'll come out. I'm hoping you come out. I hope you come out of every false. I'm here to help you. I'm here to Bible study with you. You can email me. You want test everything I say. If you want a Bible study, if you want fellowship online, if you want accountability, if you want to be encouraged by other people that are walking out of all that world and out of that church system, you can do it. The problem is, not the problem, the glorious thing is it will cost you everything. It'll cost you most of your friends and family. Sometimes men's wives fight against him. Mm-hmm. I had a young man that was worldly and his wife married him and now he's becoming godly and it's changing how he acts, talks, lives, dresses. And she said, I didn't marry this guy. But Jesus said, I come to separate mothers from daughters, fathers from sons, husbands from wives. And if you love them more than you love me, you're not worthy. So we have to be rid. If my wife turns on the Lord and no longer wants to serve him, I love her. And if she'll stay with me, she'll be my wife. But if she says, I'm out of here, I got to let her go and say, you're outside of God. I love you, but I'm going. I'm going for Christ still. And I have to let her go.
I
will not change things for her or for any person. And she won't change for me. So that's what I'd encourage you to do. The cost is great. To follow Christ biblically and test everything. Right. Test your testimony. Test these people that you're thinking about. Definitely test somebody like Joyce Meyer and see that if she keeps one sin, she's going to miss the kingdom of God.
This is my people calling.
Good talking,
God bless
man.
You, my brother.
I hope to hear from you.
Yeah, I got your card.
I hope to hear from you.
Yeah, okay,
email me.
Tupos.
We love you.
James and Debbie, Tupos and
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. See you later.
Drive safe.
Thank you.